Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, inviting you to our virtual living room, where we discuss today's issues and how those issues relate to the Holy Scriptures. So sit back, relax, and engage in conversation with us.
What are the deeds of the flesh? How do we put them off? This is important for everyone that claims Jesus Christ is the Lord. So listen to this show tonight, because the scriptures are going to give us the answer. So I'd like to thank everyone for joining us once again in the virtual living room on the Sabbath. I'm your brother, Gadaiwan, in the virtual living room all the way from London, United Kingdom. We also have the brother Kazak joining with us. Kazak.
Hey, shalom, brothers and sisters. Most high in the name of Christ, bless all, and I'm always appreciative to be able to join and participate in the blog discussions.
Definitely a blessing always to have you, brother. So the topic that we're going to be dealing with tonight is going into the deeds of the flesh, or better yet, should I say, the works of the flesh, and more going into the body, the things that we do. Because oftentimes you see in different ministries and things, they do a lot of praise and worship, but they don't deal with, you know, what Christ was saying. They leave out the weightier matters of the law, and they don't deal with the matters of the law. Matter of fact, they'll tell you, the law is done away with. You know, you don't have to do that old law. So that confuses people. That confuses people and leads them to believe, and that's the point, that Satan wants them to believe that you started with in the garden, that you can do whatever you want to do against God's commandments and there will be no punishment. But the deeds of our flesh, the things that we do in our flesh, the works that we work in our flesh, they're made known, and we're going to go into them. First of all, let's go to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter and the 13th verse, because we have to these things, what things is right and what things is wrong according to the Bible. And then once we learn those things, then we have to go about not doing those things. And how do we keep ourselves from going into these things that we've been doing all our life and stop it completely cold turkey and not do those things anymore? Well, the scriptures give us the answers to what we're supposed to do. But let's start off by going to Romans, the 8th chapter and the 13th verse.
All right, Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die.
So it says, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. So we're gonna go to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and we're gonna go into read what it means when it's speaking about the flesh. So it says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Read on.
But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
Right. So let's keep this scripture in mind, because this is one of the ways that shows us how we're gonna put off the deeds or the works of the flesh. If we live after the flesh, which we're going to go and read about what are the works of the flesh, it says what? We shall die. So I'll just the works of the flesh, like adultery. If you're an adulterer or an adulteress, if you live after that lifestyle, the wages of sin is death. Okay, you may not die. You see many people, they commit adultery or they have one-night stands or they are whore or they sleep around and do all kinds of things. And the immediate sentence for them is not death, but the eventuality that's going to happen if they don't repent is going to be death. And you see a lot of times people, they have problems in life because of the works of the flesh, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. We're going to go and read all those things and explain all those things. But it says, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So a lot of people think that, you know, when you read about the Spirit is some kind of mystical energy force, you know, like the Force on Star Wars, it's some kind of energy that's, you know, controlling my life. So let's just go to John 6 and 63, read about the Spirit. The Spirit is talking about the Spirit, the Heavenly Father, Christ. But let's go and get clarifications to let people know that this isn't a mystery, and this, you know, the simplicity of Christ. These things are simple for us to do. We make it hard and difficult because we don't want to let go of that way we've been living after the flesh. John 6 and 63, so we can get a bit more understanding of what it means through the Spirit. Read.
John 6 and 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth.
Stop. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. So the Spirit quickens. When it says quickeneth, quickeneth means to bring to life. It is through the Spirit that quickeneth. Read on.
The flesh profiteth nothing.
Profit of nothing. Adultery, you're not going to get any profit out of that. You'll get pleasure for the moment, but then you're going to get pain and trouble after that. You could commit fornication, have one night stand. You get pleasure for the moment, sin for a season, but then you get pain, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, all those things. Those things are not going to be profit you. When you go to a witch or you go to a palm reader, read your palm, it's not profiting you, it's profiting them. You losing money. So the works of the flesh is not going to profit you. It's the Spirit that quickens and gives us life. Read on.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
They are spirit and they are life. So through the words of the scriptures, the words of the Bible, this is how we're going to mortify the deeds of the body and live. When it speaks about mortify, it means to put to death. So the things that we're doing after the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, variance, hatred, witchcraft, idolatry, wrath, injuries, murder, drunkenness, revelings. We have to put those, we have to do away with those things as if we were killing them. Because when you kill somebody, they're gone. They ain't coming back. They're dead. You know, this ain't Friday the 13th, Jason. You know, you coming out of, you know, Camp Crystal Lake. No. So that's why it says through the Spirit, through the words of these scriptures, the words of the, they show us what things are right and what things are wrong. They show us what the flesh is. So now we will know these things. Wait a minute. Man, if I go and deal with another man's woman, according to the Bible, not my own conscience or feeling, according to the Bible, man, that thing is wrong. And the Lord has said what? The penalty for an adulterer or adulteress is death.
Mm-hmm.
And because a lot of times these things don't happen immediately, people are to live after the flesh rather than deal with the Spirit. So let's go to Galatians 5 and 19. So right there, we've already gotten the answer of how we're going to be able to put these things off and keep them off. We have to start walking, stop walking after the flesh and doing the things of the flesh. And what? Through the Spirit, through God's Word, through the words of Christ, we're able to kill off these bad habits and wicked that we're doing in our body. And then the Lord will give us life through what? Through Christ's word. So let's read Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 19th verse.
Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these.
So stop there. It says that now the works of the flesh are manifest, meaning the manifest means made known. Is going to be what? Made known. When something manifests, you can see. Not only known, is seen. Okay? So now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So now we're going to find out, what are the works of the flesh or the deeds of our body that we have to put away from us that we may be able to live, that we may be able to have life in Christ through Christ's word and have life more abundantly. These are the things that we have to mortify. So read on.
Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. Fornication.
Read on. Read it all the way through to verse 21.
Okay. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right. Now, a lot of people, they'll never come into contact with this. And what will happen will be that they will continue to live after their flesh. They'll continue in adultery, fornication, because they have not learned such things, and that these things are contrary to the words of God. You know, they're too busy singing, dancing. Then the pastor in the church, he's an adulterer. You got another sister, she's a fornicator. You got another guy caught up, he's caught up in all kinds of lasciviousness. You got another guy, or they all in the church caught up in adultery, celebrating Christmas, because that's idolatry. So let's start to begin to go into these things and look at them under a more closer eye, and, you know, look at the definition of what the scriptures are saying about them. Because people have their popular opinion of what adultery is. Well, that's you know, that's talking about, you know, married people. I ain't sleep with nobody married, so I'm safe. So let's go. Let's have a look at this. Let's look at adultery. Let's go to Leviticus 20 and 10 to see exactly what adultery is.
Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10. All right, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death.
So adultery is what? When a man lays down with another man's wife, or a woman who has a husband, she sleeps with another man that is not her husband. That's adultery. And what was the penalty for that? The penalty for that was what? The Lord said he was going to put them to death. In ancient times, they were stoned with stones. They were put to death. See, now we in Christ, we have a chance for repentance, and we can become new creatures in Christ. So people have done that. What do they have to do? They have to repent of that, and they have to get away from that. And one of the ways how we get away from that, let's go to Matthew's, the fifth chapter. Because where is all this, you know, adulterous activities coming from? You know, people, they try to blame it on drink or drunkenness, or, you know, the woman had problems, so, you know, I sat down with her, and then, you know, she was liking me. So, you know, it just happened like that. But let's see what Christ is saying. Matthew's the fifth chapter, and let's begin at the 27th verse.
Matthew 5 and 27. These are the words of Christ, by the way. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery.
So this is Christ. He's saying, you have heard it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. So now when Christ is speaking about you have heard them say in old time, he's referring to the Old Testament. And what he's referring to, let's go to Leviticus 8, 10, and 20. Because in the Old Testament, within the law, that they were thinking, and they were thinking that this was okay. So read that, Leviticus 18, verse 20.
Leviticus 18 and 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie down carnally. Excuse me. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her.
So what was in their thinking? When it says, well, if I don't lay down carnally with my neighbor's wife, then, you know, I haven't committed adultery with her. So carnally means the physical act of it. You're actually going, getting a woman, and then you lay down, you have sex with her. Okay, sexual intercourse. Okay, so read verse 28.
Verse 28.
Matthew 5:28.
Mm-hmm. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart.
Right, so Christ is saying what? If you look on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her. Where? In your heart, meaning your mind. So what is that? Where does that begin? Like Christ was saying, it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man. It's the things that come out of him. And he says what? And he started to proceed about their wicked. So one of those thoughts, wicked thoughts, is what? Adultery. Before a man gets with a woman, he's looking at her and he's lusting after her. He's thinking about her shape, her form, just like David did. Just like David did. He saw Bathsheba and he was looking at her bathing, and instead of turning away, like, no, I'm not going to lust after her. I don't know who wife that is. I'm supposed to, you know, deal with the woman like a sister. He didn't do that. He saw her naked and her breast and what? He desired the things that were precious in her. So this is a good example what Christ is showing us, that what? These things come from our mind and defile us before we act them out. So the act of adultery, the way for us to get away from that is what? Not to look at a woman to lust after her. Like Paul was saying, you have the sexual desires within you, is better than to burn and go into fornication, which is the next one after that, going into fornication. Well, let's go to give some examples. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the fifth chapter and the first verse, going into fornication. Because the Bible gives definitions and shows us what different, yeah, you can read the dictionary, but the main book that has no mate is the scriptures. Okay, that's why the scripture says precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little. That's in Isaiah 28:9-10. So let's read that in 1 Corinthians 5, dealing with fornication. And these are all the works of the flesh. That Romans 8:13 said, if we live after the flesh, you shall die. So if you continue in adultery, you shall die. If you continue in fornication, you shall die. So let's read that, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1.
1 Corinthians 5:1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife.
Right. So this fornication is that one that should have his father's wife. When you go back and you look at Leviticus, the 18th chapter, matter of fact, let's go there. It gives you a whole laundry list of different fornications. And one of them was what? A man having his father's wife. Let's just go straight to the point. Leviticus 18:8.
Right. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 8. The nakedness of thy father's wife shall not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness.
So when it speaks about the nakedness of thy father's wife, shall thou cover, it is thy father's nakedness. Kazak, you explain that, brother.
It says, nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. In other words, what it's saying here is, when it says uncover nakedness, that's just a euphemism for wanting to go and have sex with. So now the point is, the nakedness of thy father's wife thou shalt not uncover, meaning you are not supposed to approach your father's wife to have sex with her. It is thy father's nakedness. That's your father's wife. She is supposed to uncover herself in that sexual manner for her husband, your father, not for you. This is one of the laws dealing with fornication that we are not supposed to be committing, that it's talking about in 1 Corinthians 5 and 1.
Exactly right. We got a caller. I'm going to let this caller in, and then we'll continue on. Hello, caller from 16 area 636. You're in the virtual living room. What's your comment or question?
Okay, my comment is, why is it that you still search when I can give you all the answers and then you just need to confirm that I'm right? Why?
Okay, well, first of all, the word of the Lord is right. So we're not looking for answers from a man or a woman. We're looking for answers for Christ. So I would suggest that you listen in, and we're going to continue. Thank you for calling. So we was going into covetousness. Fornication. And one of the fornications, read on in Leviticus 18
right.
and verse 9. Because it gives you a whole laundry list of different fornications. The fornications was just not the man dealing with his father's wife. There were many that listed in Leviticus 18. We'll just read off a few. I don't want to go through the whole thing because we got a long list of works of the flesh to deal with.
Verse 9. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover.
Right. So it was going into the common word that's used today is incest. And it goes down the whole list of things. You couldn't deal with, first of all, you couldn't deal with your father's wife, your father's wife, because something could happen to your mother, or your father could have another, have a different wife besides the woman who birthed you. You're not supposed to deal with her. You see that in a lot of examples where the man would have, maybe he would have a younger wife down the son's age, or just a little bit older. And they're like, well, you know, what dad doing with that? You know, that's my age. So the scriptures are showing us all things. No, we're not supposed to engage in that. That's going into fornication or commonly read verse 18.
Verse 18, Leviticus 18 and 18. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime.
Right, so you're not supposed to be having what they say, a menage a trois. Say it right, because I know you speak that French. Come on, bro. How you say it?
Menage a trois.
See, this brother's multi-talented. He's just trying to hide it.
Menage
a trois.
That's what it is.
So three in a bed. You're not supposed to have, you never saw that, because you see, it's not talking about a man marrying because we had that with Jacob, but they dealt with him separately. It wasn't going into all kinds of crazy sexual acts. See, a lot of people say, I want to have two twins. No, these are the works of the flesh. We can't go into that. Okay, read the next verse, verse 19.
I have a point with this, just right quick. When it says to her sister, it's not referred to just biological. Oh, they're sisters. I can't do that. But if I have one woman who is not kin or of a blood relation to another woman, oh, that's okay, that's permissible. No, that is not permissible according to the scriptures. When it says sister, it could refer to both biological siblings or sisters of the nation. According to the scriptures, that is wrong. So in other words, like it was already brought out in the spirit of Christ, no menage a trois. If a man happens to have more than one wife, then he deals with them on a one-on-one basis, not two at the same time. That's against the commandments that we're reading it in Leviticus 18 and 18.
Right, right. So read verse 19. Very good point, brother. Thank you. All praises to the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. So read verse 19.
Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness.
Right, so fornication was what? you having sex with your wife while she's on her menstrual cycle. Because you read that in Leviticus, the 15th chapter, where women were set apart for their uncleanness, whether it was uncleanness of their monthly cycle or was uncleanness due to childbirth. And there was different times for a male and a female. 40 days for a male and 80 days for a female. That's why you see a lot of brothers and sisters that have daughters, they wind up having another one straight after that. That 80-day wait, we putting a hurting on them. But anyway, let's go back to Galatians 5. So there are some different examples of fornication, but you can read Leviticus, the whole 18th chapter.
Right.
Galatians 5, it said uncleanness. Now, when you look at the scriptures, there's many different ways that, according to the scriptures, that make us unclean. Basically, we commit in sin makes us physically unclean. But I wanted to go and look at the scriptures, and we get the examples from the scriptures. Let's start by looking at Leviticus 11 and 43.
Leviticus chapter 11, verse 43. And it says, as soon as I get it. All right, here we go. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 43. Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby.
So when you look at Leviticus, the 11th chapter, it was speaking about the things that were clean for us to eat as Israelites and the things that were unclean for us to eat. So a lot of people, they make themselves unclean by what meats they eat. You have people, and the creeping things, you have people, they eat all kinds, escargot, which is another French delicacy. For my brother, I know you had to avoid the, I know you had to run from the escargot when you was in France, but, you know, there's many things that people eat. You know, they want to eat chocolate-covered cockroaches and these kind of things, and they see them as delicacies. They're doing something wonderful. Wow. But jump down to verse 46.
This is the law of the beasts and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth.
Right. So the Lord has a law of the beast. And by eating the unclean things, it makes us unclean. So speaking about unclean, this is one of the many different ways that make us unclean. So read verse 47.
To make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beasts that may be eaten and the beasts that may not be eaten.
Right. So it's showing us that what? There's different beasts or meats that's unclean for us to eat, and by us eating these things, we become abominable and we make ourselves unclean. Now, a lot of people, they'll make reference to the scripture when you start speaking about the law of the beasts and unclean foods, they'll go into Christ. Well, Christ said, it's not what you put into a man, it's what you defile. If you look at the whole example of that story, it was speaking about the disciples eating with unwashing hands. Because Christ, no swine ever passed his lips. Matter of fact, he put the unclean spirits into the swine. Okay, so that's not different meats that we're supposed to be eating. It's clearly stating this and telling us, you know, what we're supposed to eat, what we're not supposed to eat. That's just one example going into that uncleanness. But how do we get clean from our sins? Because the uncleanness is not just with meat. It's going into sin. For us to eat these unclean beasts, that was a sin. That was a breaking of the commandments. That was a transgression of the law. So how do we get ourselves clean? And that's what we're trying to find out. You know, okay, if we're not supposed to live out of the flesh, how do we mortify these deeds? How do we get away from these works? Okay, let's go to Psalms 119 and verse 9.
Oh, wow. That is the spirit, because I'm already looking at it, brother.
All praises.
All right, Psalms 119 and verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? So now this is the question. The question is being posed. The brother just posed it. So now we're looking at it in the scriptures. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Or more commonly put, how is it that a young man is supposed to clean up his act? Or how is it that a young woman is supposed to clean up her act? Right about now, the answer is in the same verse. by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So what that means is by taking heed, by paying attention to and applying the word of the Heavenly Father, by applying Jesus Christ, his example, by keeping the commandments through the example of Jesus Christ, that's how a young man or a young woman cleanses his or her way.
Right. And so, beautiful, all praises. So from that to John 15 and 3, St. John, the 15th chapter and the 3rd verse. Because you mentioned Christ, so let's go to Christ and see, has Jesus Christ changed from that program? Or is he working right in line with the program and with the scriptures? He's working on a different doctrine. So let's read that. John 15, verse 3.
John 15 and 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
So it's the words that Christ is speaking to us that makes us clean, as long as what? We take heed unto it. We have to do it. We can't just hear the words of Christ and not do them, because that's only part done. So once we hear the words and then we take heed to the words of Christ, and the first thing that Christ was teaching was what? For us to repent and to believe the gospel. And this is what this show is dedicated to bring forth repentance and show, look, these are what your sins are, and you have to stop them. Or what we're dealing with tonight, the works of the flesh are manifest. They're being made known. So what? Our people cannot hide anymore behind these things and say, well, I was ignorant of what the scriptures are telling. Well, you was in the past, but now the heavenly, once you know these things, the Lord is commanding men everywhere, Israelites everywhere, to what? To repent once you know these things. So let's continue on. We did now lasciviousness. Now, a lot of people are like, what, lascivious? Who? Louis who? This is like some, extravagant black people's name, you know. But it's not. It's a word that's going into sexual desires, okay? Lasciviousness. It's going into sexual desires, like a show of sexual desires, or flirtatious, flirty. We're not supposed to have that spirit. Let's go to a good example. Go to 1 Peter 3.
Say that one more time. Go to where?
1 Peter 4 and 3.
Okay. 1 Peter 4, starting at verse 3. Oh, yeah. For in the time past of our life may suffice us. Excuse me. I'll start again. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excessive wine, revelries, banquetings, and abominable idolatries.
Right. It says, for in time past in our life, it may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Because the Gentiles, they're the ones that were going into all those lascivious behaviors. They would have, you know, excessive wine, and they would get drunk. Would the Lord tell us what? We're not supposed to get drunk. That's one of the works of the flesh. They would have these big revelations, parties like they do at Christmas. All those are satanic vibrations, satanic holidays that hasn't been ordained by the Heavenly Father or Christ that people go into that leads them into lasciviousness. Where they have the mistletoe. Don't matter who you are, a man or a woman, or nowadays you're just under the mistletoe, whether it's man or woman action, or you got a kiss. So a lot of these things come from these different revelries and drunkenness and drink and all that. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to leave those things alone. It says abominable idolatries, because a lot of these, like I said before, a lot of these different holidays and customs, they're going into idolatrous practice and worship of other gods. Mm-hmm. Which brings us to the next one, which is idolatry. Let's go to Exodus 20, verse 1.
Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
So the Lord had to state this, because many times Israel will forget this. He said, I am the Lord your God. Okay? I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt. It wasn't no calf. It wasn't no golden calf. It wasn't no goat. It wasn't because it was Pharaoh's iniquities. He just felt sorry for you. He said, I brought you out. Read on.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
So that was the point of saying, look, I'm your Lord, your God. I'm the one that's working for you. I'm the one that's done these great things for you. You're not supposed to have any other gods before me. Read on.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the world under the earth.
Read on.
Thou shalt not bind thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children until the third and fourth generation of them that hate me.
So the Lord is saying what? We're not supposed to go and engage in idolatrous. A lot of people, they go into different idolatrous practices, which is the worship of other gods. When you're celebrating Christmas and Easter, that's the worship of other gods. One is for what? Saul of Victus, which is the worship of the sun, the unconquered sun. The sun is coming back, and they had all kinds of festivals, and the winter solstice. Then you had Easter, which is going into Ashtaroth, Astarte, which is the spring goddess, the goddess of, the queen of heaven, and all these different things. We're not engaged in that, and the scriptures tell us all about that. And these are the works of the flesh. And the disguise and the snares, because that's how Satan works. He's subtle. He makes you, these are things that are going to make you feel good, but these are things that actually are against the Heavenly Father. So we're not supposed to engage in idolatrous practices. Matter of fact, let's go to Psalms 96 and verse 5.
Psalms 96 and 5.
Because the Heavenly Father lets you know that there is no other gods. Because a lot of people, they try to front and fake, but it said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, so there must be other gods. So let's read 96 verse 5, just to get clarification.
Psalm 96 and 5. For all the gods of the nations are idols.
Read that again.
For all the gods of the nations are idols.
So all the gods of the nations are idols. Remember in Exodus 20, it spoke about not making any idols, no bridges. So all the other nations, the things that they worship as gods, is idols. You see these Asian countries, Buddha, Rama, they got little statues. No, these things are idols. These things are made with man's hands. Read on.
But the Lord made the heavens.
Yeah, but the Most High, he made the heavens. He made the moon, so why people worship the moon? He made the sun, so why people worship the sun? If you see the sun and, oh man, magnificent, and the moon and stars, look at that, the universe, you better think about how mighty is the one who created them. It's the Lord. He made the heavens. So let's go on. And we've gone from idolatry into witchcraft. So let's go to Deuteronomy 18 and 10. Now, this witchcraft is broad. A lot of people, they don't think that they're into witchcraft practices. Okay, you're going into your horoscopes. Let me read my daily horoscopes. What are you doing? You're going into what? You're trying to see what your future is going to bring? Well, the Lord is telling us our future. Why are you going and trying to deal with the left-hand side of things when the Lord said what? One of the works of the flesh is witchcraft. We're not supposed to deal with that. So let's read that, Deuteronomy 18 and verse 10.
Deuteronomy 18 and 10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or witch.
Read on. Read the next one.
Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer.
Read on. Verse 12.
For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee.
So the Lord says what? We're not supposed to use divination. We're not supposed to be trying to divine or use things to see the future or observe the time or an enchanter. Let me cast a spell. this candle that's going to bring me money. Let me get this candle that's going to bring me a man or a good husband, okay? We're not supposed to be trying to cast spells to get things. You want to say something about?
Oh yeah, because when you mention these things, let's mention a little bit more right quick. How about these crystal balls? These crystal balls that people use to divine and look into the future or see your fortune or to tell your future or to guess your fortune. That's off.
Yeah, that's
tarot
a horoscope.
Tarot cards, off. That's against the scripture. That's witchcraft. While we at it, Ouija boards, off. That's against the scriptures. That's against commandments. That's witchcraft. So witchcraft comes in a whole form of different forms, excuse me, is what I'm trying to say. And not counting out those who deal in drugs. You out there dealing drugs. You altering the mind state of people. Believe it or not, that is another form of witchcraft. When you're altering someone's consciousness, you're taking them out of this set reality and trying to cause them to ascend to another reality or make people think, oh, I'm high. I feel a closeness with God. No, you don't. You feel a closeness with Satan because look what you're doing. You're messing with your mind. You're altering your mind state. That is witchcraft. That's also against the scriptures, and we're reading about it right here.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be going to try to let me speak to my dead relative because I missed them. You know, they left too soon, so I'm going to go to someone that's going to, you know, they're going to get me in contact with the dead. All this stuff is off. It's going into witchcraft and the works of the flesh. These, when people die, when it says in Joel, they're at rest, they're at peace, leave them alone. They're gone. Okay, we go on to the next one, which is going into hatred. Now, let's just go to 1 John 3rd chapter and... Matter of fact, dealing with the enchantment, a lot of people they go into witchcraft and they try to use other witchcraft to combat people that they think is putting spells on them or this person is doing against me. So I'm gonna just read this scripture real quick. This is number 23 and Numbers chapter in the 23rd verse. It says, "Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel." So if you roll in the spirit of the Heavenly Father, there's no power of the enemy, of Satan, the devil, or demons or spirits that can come up against you. So now, we're going into what? I said hatred.
Right.
1 John 3, verse 12.
1 John 3 and 12. "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous."
Read on.
"Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death."
Okay, 15 is the point.
"Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him."
Right. So whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. So that hatred, where's it coming from? It's, first of all, it starts in our mind. So it shows you that hate would lead you to where? To murder. So one of the works of the flesh is hatred, which is opposite to one of the fruits of the spirit, which is love. So we're not supposed to have that hatred. One thing, you know, black people have in abundance for one another is hatred. That self-hate, self-loathing, and it's something that we really have to put off and repent of, because it leads us to murder. And that's what our people are doing in the ghettos and the slums of America and all the places where they are scattered. They look like, you know, like it's a blue light special or something.
Right.
And it's because of hatred.
Can I read the scripture right quick?
Go ahead, bro.
Because the Most High gave us the clues on how to deal with our brothers and sisters so that it doesn't come to hatred. Leviticus 19:17 and verse 18. "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart," meaning your mind. "Thou shalt in any wise rebuke," that word means to correct, "thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him." verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So now what the Lord is telling us here is we're not supposed to be bearing grudges or holding aught against our brothers, because when we do that and we don't go to our brothers like Christ said, like Christ told us to do in Matthew the 18th chapter, and we don't rectify the situation, it turns into hatred, and that is the basic grounds for murder if it's not corrected. So for all of us who are bearing grudges and things of that nature, we got to repent and stop that.
That's right. All praises. So time is quickly running out, as it always does in these shows, bringing out the word. You know, time, they say time flies when you're having fun. So it's always an enjoyment to go through the scriptures and bring the word. But let's continue on. The next one, we went from hatred to variance, which is one of the works of the flesh, one of the things that we have to put off and mortify the deeds of our body, the wicked flesh, is variance. Now, variance is being at odds or dispute or controversy or disagreement that brings discord and, you know, quarreling. And that's not something that we're supposed to do, because 2 Timothy 2:4 says what? The servant of the Lord must not. So get it and read it.
2 Timothy chapter 2.
Yeah, variance. We all are at odds. You say tomato, I say tomato. You know, we're not supposed to be at variance with one another and have that striving spirit. Read on.
2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient.
So the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. So we're not supposed to be disputing or having disputes or being at odds with one another and, you know, disagreement, because it says, how can two walk together, lest they be agreed? And what we're supposed to agree on is the words of Christ and the words of what the Bible is saying. So moving right along, we move on to emulations. So emulations, you see that a lot. And emulation means, you know, someone that's, they're looking at you and they desire to equal you or to excel you. And that was the position of the Pharisees. They had emulation against Christ. They wanted to excel him. They were envious and jealous of him. So we have to engage in those kind of, you know, spirits, you know, of who's going to be the greatest and those kind of things. Or I should be better than him. I can be better than him. Let me be better than him. Or you read this scripture, I'm going to read a more powerful scripture than him. That's the thing that people were doing to Christ. Rather, we're supposed to do as Christ said. We're supposed to love one another, and we're supposed to serve one another, because that's who Christ said is going to be the greatest, the one who's going to be the greatest, the one who's going to be your servant. So wrath is that uncontrollable anger. I have to move, you know, kind of quick, but not too quick. You know, we're not supposed to have that wrath. We're supposed to have temperance. We're supposed to be in control of our temperament. You know, the scripture says anger rests up in the bosom of fools. Someone that, you know, they're easy to get angry, that's a fool. You know, they have no control of themselves. Eventually, that person is going to find themselves in a world. Okay, strife, we're not supposed to be arguing. We're not supposed to be going into debates, especially about the scriptures, because the word of the Lord is so clear. And if there's anything that we don't understand, as long as we deal as brothers, as sisters in the Lord will give us the understanding when he is ready. Now, the next one from that is sedition. Sedition, the definition of sedition is what is discontent or rebellion against the government. Now, the Bible speaks about our government, and the government rests upon Christ's shoulders. So he's the head of the government, and then you have, you know, brothers that's doing the work of the Lord, but they're doing it in Christ's stead as ambassadors of Christ. But then you have these people that, you know, they try to bring in seditions, and the sedition is through. The next one is heresies. They bring in these different heresies and different things that's going against the established doctrine, and we know the established doctrine is not a church doctrine that we read a separate handbook. When you come into the church, you have to do this and wash your hands. The established doctrine is the Bible. So someone saying, look, okay, I know it says in the Bible that you're not supposed to eat pork, but you don't have to do it anymore. They're bringing in heresies, damnable heresies. As a matter of fact, let's go to 1 Peter. Let's get a scripture on that.
1 Peter.
Matter of fact, let's leave it because we're running out of time. Let's go to envyings. Now, envy was what? That is like jealousy. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at someone and they have certain things and you desire those things for yourself, it's almost like being covetous. You know, you covetous. Or you envious of someone else, you know, what things they have, or they may have good success, or maybe they have a nice wife, and your wife is a damn devil that, you know, came straight out of hell. You know, she went straight past go, didn't collect £200 or $200. She came straight from hell straight to you, looking at the other brother, and, you know, why is his wife so nice? Why I got the devil? A good example of that, let's go to Genesis the fourth chapter of that envy, because we look at it, and Cain was envious of his brother Abel. So let's read that in Genesis 4. You can start from 1.
All right, Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." And she again bare his brother Abel.
Mm-hmm.
And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought up the fruit of the ground and offered it unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought up the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering.
So what happened there? Mm. Abel brought of the best of what the Lord had blessed him with. But what? Cain didn't bring the best. Now, verse 5.
But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell.
So he was mad. What was he mad at? Because Abel got accepted. So that envy came in. That's so-and-so. He got accepted. I brought some stuff, and I didn't get accepted. Why I didn't get accepted? So the Lord's going to tell us. Read on.
And the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door."
And so he told him. Go ahead.
And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.
So he told him, look, if you did well, you would be accepted. But you don't do well, then sin lieth at the door. So basically he was saying, look, Satan's there waiting for you, because that's who you seek to serve. So we read it in 1 John 3:12, where it says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one." Remember, sin lieth at the door, Satan, and he slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? So it's actually, why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So he was envious of Abel and what he done, but his works were evil. Why he do that? If we do what's right, then the Lord was blessed. Have that envious spirit upon us, which are the works of the flesh. So, murders, which we read some about where murder's coming from, that hatred. But murder also, in today's age, murder would be considered, they would say, premeditated. Because it speaks about it in Exodus about people getting in a fight, and if a man, the two men get in a fight, and the man, but, you know, he didn't have no ill feeling against them, and he wasn't laying wait for him, then there'll be nothing done for him. But if he had hatred for him, and he picked up something and knocked him on the head to kill him, that was considered murder, because you had those ill feelings in your heart. So the Bible spoke about that, you know, that we're not supposed to hate our brother in the heart, in our hearts, because even if you do it in your mind, according to the scriptures consider you a murderer. Keep those things off. It speaks about drunkenness. Now, drunkenness, a lot of people in the church, they say, the Bible speak about drunkenness. You know, we can't have a drink. You can't drink at all. And that's not what the scriptures are speaking about. Let's read Ephesians 5:18.
Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
So we're not supposed to be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Meaning you started at 9 and you finish at 9 the next morning, you drinking. You know, in England they said, well, I'm going to get pissed. And the reason why they say that, because they drink so much and they lose control where they actually pee on themselves. So we're not supposed to be getting drunk. It's fine for us to have a drink of wine or strong drink. Matter of fact, the first miracle that Christ performed, he turned water into wine. And it was the best wine there. And people drunk wine in his presence. He said, no, y'all stop drinking that wine. You're wicked. You're going to hell off. You're following the devil. He didn't say that. So we're not supposed to get drunk. And many people use that. And what happens, they go from drunkenness, and that is like a gateway to many other sins. Well, I got drunk. That's why I committed adultery with your wife, because it was the, you know. You can't deal with that yak. That yak, man, make you do all kinds of stuff. No, it was you. You got drunk. You went into drunkenness, and now all these things have happened to you. So from drunkenness, it goes to revelings. Now, revelings is going into wild parties. And the Bible was associated with idolatry. People were engaging in idolatrous practices, and they would have these revelings right behind it. And you see that in all the major holidays that in the world. Christmas, what do they have? They have these big reveling parties. And it's really it's not in the worship of Christ, it's in the worship to other gods. Easter, they have Easter revelings. They have Valentine's Day revelings. So all these things, we're not supposed to engage in them. And it says all that do things, they're not going to have part in the kingdom. Which envies, murders, drunkards, revelings, or such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So that was the point of our show tonight, looking at these different points and hoping to the hearers and the listeners that they would hear these things, and if they were doing these things, that they would and repent of it. Because that's the point of our show, for us to teach repentance, not to go into, you know, what people were saying, higher knowledge. How can we go into higher knowledge when we need to deal with the milk of the word that we can grow thereby? Because that's what's going to get us salvation, through the Heavenly Father's word, through repenting of these works of the flesh. And we have to put these things off before we leave the life in Christ. Now, Zach, you got anything in closing? We got 1 minute.
Nothing in closing. It's all praises being able to be here. May our people repent and come back to Christ and follow his example.
So giving all praises to Christ, we say shalom, and we hope you join in to another show. Shalom.
Shalom.
Brothers and sisters, thank you for visiting with us in the virtual living room of the Body of Christ Church. You can visit our website at thebocc.com, or you can email us at bodyofchrist@ureach.com, or call us at 877-871-4444. 1712. Until our next visit, the Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you. Shalom.